Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I love this analogy that during this whole time you're having this like scientific realization all while plummeting to the earth in an elevator shaft.
Yeah. This makes sense. We're fine. Welcome back to the Random Theory Podcast. I'm Grace.
And I'm Josh.
And together we learn, share, and explore unique topics in the world.
Yes, we do. Indeed.
Bam. Just like that.
Bam. Just like that. That's a I will say for the listeners at home, that is written down. That intro is written and set in stone.
Written.
So
documented. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what
maybe we just, say we just carry on. That to yeah. The next one.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
You know, we like to, you know, think on our feet here. So
keep it spicy. How you been?
I've been good. I told you I've been trying to get a handle on my sleep schedule.
It's a whole thing.
Off to a rocky start. I made this declaration yesterday morning because the night before I didn't fall asleep until 2 a.m.
Josh.
For no reason at all, too. Like, it's not like I'm out or anything. I just like, it'll be 1 a.m. and I'm like, oh, I need to go to bed.
That could not be me, to be very clear.
Yeah, so yesterday I was like, okay, I'm going to like get a handle on it. I guess technically it was better, but last night I was asleep by 1. So it's baby steps.
That's good. I love that for you.
How about you?
You know, life's been good. Life's been kind of crazy, but be how it be. Yeah, I have nothing new to report. Josh and I recently saw each other again. I sold my car officially. My car is gone. It is sold. I no longer have anything in Utah anymore.
Yeah. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. Man, that's a hard thing. Selling your car. Crazy.
Yeah. A lot of memories tied to that thing that you got to let go.
So many. I cried.
A lot of life. I don't blame you.
So much
life. At all.
Yeah, the poor Uber driver was like, probably like, what is happening here?
It's like, oh, no.
So I'm like sobbing in the back of the car. It's fine. We're fine.
Well, I want to do a disclaimer at the beginning of this episode. We have decided, since we're now in a post-100 episode world, we wanted to change up the format slightly on our podcast. This one's going to be slightly different. I mean, it's not crazy different, so don't no one get
I love too that concerned. You care enough to give them a disclaimer. I was just going to like jump into it and just be like, this is how it is.
Here's the disclaimer, because I'm not even going to say like what we're doing really. Just if stuff changes over the next couple episodes, because that's the thing, like we're going to try things, and if it doesn't feel right, we'll change it and try something new. Just expect going to be some changes. That's the disclaimer.
You're better than me. I was just going to be like, this is how it is. Next.
Deal with it.
Should we hop into some ratings and reviews?
Yes, I think we shall. All right, so I've got two Spotify responses. They're to the Q&A. If you're listening on Spotify, when you listen to an episode, it'll say like, what topic do you want us to cover in a future episode? And these are both on our 100th episode. So recently.
Woohoo!
First one comes from Agent T. And they said, I really wanted to be a part of this episode, but wasn't able to make it. Love the pod, though. OGRT.
Aww.
Agent T, also I saw you post another one. This person's name is Tyler. They said their name in the other one, so hi Tyler.
Oh nice. Hey Tyler,
thank you so much. You know, obviously we wanted to get as many people in there. It was a little last minute, so we weren't able to give
a little. It was a lot of last minute. It was very last minute on our part.
We did it. It was so last minute, it wasn't even advertised in an actual episode.
No.
So we completely understand people not being able to make it to the actual live recording of that. But thank you so much for the support. We're glad you love the pod. And then the other one is from Lawson. And they said, you should do an episode on 3D printing and how it works. And I do believe that we've done that, haven't we? Episode 95.
There it is.
Called Why 3D Printers Are the Future.
They are. It's a great podcast, Lawson. You should listen to it. Anyone should listen to it.
Yes, absolutely.
Also, you should listen to the coding episode after that. Because
yeah, that one is a good one.
We feel very passionate about coding.
We do. I feel like of all the episodes, that one's probably got the most plugs. But yeah, Lawson, we already did it. Go listen to it, episode 95. But thank you so much for the suggestion. If you have anything else, make sure to respond again and let us know.
Yes, please let us know. Thank you guys for those ratings and reviews, Agent T, and Tyler, and Lawson. Thank you guys for the ratings and reviews and ideas. All right, I have one today from Apple Podcast. Ken's the best OGRT. I love that. They left us a review that says OGRT !! with a test tube, a science pal, and a million billion trillion out of 10 rating.
Okay.
And she said, I love this podcast. I'm on the episode Why You Shouldn't Drink Your Pee, and I'm trying to get to the latest episodes. But here's some nice jokes and riddles. Ooh, thanks, Kens.
Okay, yeah.
Also, yeah. Great episode that you're on, Why You Shouldn't Drink Your Pee.
I'll be honest, I forgot we even did that, but it tracks.
I know,
so
it does. Yeah. It dehydrates you. You shouldn't do it if you're in survival mode. Go listen to the podcast. Yeah. I forget what number it is, but it's way down there. So, are you ready? Knock, knock.
Okay, who's there?
I just let you figure it out. Really went for it. Isabel.
Isabel who?
Isabel working? I had to knock.
That's good. I feel like I haven't heard that one.
Heard that one. That was a classic and I really liked it.
Yeah. How funny. I was, when you were saying that you were just letting me figure it out, I was like, how funny would it be if it was a riddle that started with knock knock and it just like goes into an elaborate riddle?
Oh, that would be so bad. That'd be so, so bad. Oh my gosh. And then she left us with a riddle. So
okay.
What can go up and come down without moving?
Man,
it's a tricky one.
The riddles, they're fun, but man, I feel so dumb.
They really take a lot of brain power.
Okay, hit me with the answer.
The temperature.
Ah, yeah. Okay, I was thinking like it's got to be something obviously not
tangible.
Physical. Yeah, yeah, tangible. Yeah, yeah. There it is. Okay,
there it is. The temperature. Yep.
The temperature. That's good. That's good.
Kens, thank you for the rating and review. We really appreciate it. That was an awesome riddle and joke from Apple Podcasts.
Those were both great. Thank you for the trillion out of 10 review. That's incredible. Yes.
We love the science pals.
We do. We absolutely do.
Now, are you ready?
Yes. This is the first new aspect
that we're going to get into this week's listener curiosity. Right after this break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. This week's listener curiosity segment comes from Tony.
Tony.
Tony. It's an email that says, hey, Grace and or Josh, I'm a longtime listener who migrated from T-Corp. I would think that it would be cool if you guys could do a podcast about how high gravity goes.
Nice.
This is crazy.
Is it?
Yes. So gravity is something for me, when I was taking physics, it just like baffled me constantly. Like, yeah, I get it. I get gravity. I know its value is like 9.8 meters per second and it pulls you towards the center of the earth. Like, cool. Okay. Got it. But gravity is weird.
Honestly, that might need to be the title of this podcast right there. Gravity is weird because it's so true.
I mean, strictly speaking, the Earth's gravity will always pull on an object. So no matter how far away you are, gravity is a force that obeys an inverse square law. So this is going to get a little convoluted. So
okay,
here we go. The inverse square law, for example, so if you put an object twice as far away, it'll feel a quarter of the gravitational pull. If you put it four times further away, it's going to feel 1/16 of the force.
Inverse square law is just
yes,
that constant.
Yeah, however far away you are, you basically square that number. So if you're four times away from the Earth, be 16th, 1/16.
Got it. 1/16th what you would feel on Earth.
Yes. So you're always going to feel the force of gravity, even though it might be vanishingly small.
Right. You might not even realize you're feeling it, but it's there.
No matter where you are. So this is where it gets kind of interesting with gravity. And Tony, the reason I love this question is because it made me think. Like, it made me ask the question, like, well, when does gravity stop? Like, when does gravity stop pulling on me? Like, depending on how high I am in space. So, like, we're going to get into zero gravity and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Okay.
Because zero gravity might be fake.
Oh, you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Zero gravity might just be a fake thing. Okay. So the space shuttle is proven to be a great laboratory.
Right.
It's great for experiments requiring zero gravity environments. So you commonly hear people refer to weightlessness of the astronauts as zero gravity. But are you truly weightless and is gravity zero?
It's a great question. Up until this exact moment, I would have said yes, but now I'm questioning everything I know.
I know, right? Like, I would have said yes as well. I would have been like, yeah, absolutely. They're weightless. They're gravity zero up there.
Yeah.
Now, it is so small that you don't have the force of gravity pulling on you like you normally would. But think about the moon. Even the moon is in a gravitational pull towards the Earth.
It's true. Yeah.
I mean, the short answer is no. The shuttle and astronauts are certainly not weightless as they orbit Earth. Rather, they are apparently weightless.
Right. They just seem like
weightless. It seems like they could be weightless. It seems like gravity's not doing anything.
Okay.
So the Earth's gravitational field extends well into space and does not stop. So no matter how high you are away and like how far away you are from Earth, you're still going to feel the gravitational pull.
That is a wild fact to think about.
Gravity does not stop, no matter if you're at Saturn, Mars, anywhere. So technically, we're experiencing the same gravity from all those other places.
That was the first thought. I was like, okay, so we're sitting here on Earth. That means we are being affected by the gravitational pull of all the other planets.
Yes.
But we don't know it. Like, it's not something that's like actually felt, but it is happening. Yeah.
However, it does weaken as one gets further from the center of the Earth, obviously. So the shuttle orbits about 125 miles above the surface, which like you can drive 125 miles very easily.
That's like such a mind-blowing fact that, you know, you think about the shuttle being out in space, you know, whatever. And it's like, yeah, you could do like double that on a tank of gas. Like if you filled up your car and drove, like that's not that far.
It's insane. When you consider the radius of the Earth is 38,000 miles, you realize the shuttle's orbits are relatively close to the Earth in comparison to our Earth size. Because you think about it and you're like, oh my gosh, it's like so crazy up there and high. And like that is a very tall vertical distance. Like,
sure,
125 miles, but like horizontally, if you're looking at it, it's very close to the Earth in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, if you were looking at like a cross section of the Earth that also included the orbital ring of the space, like it would just be just right off the surface, you know?
Yeah. I'm literally looking at like 125 miles on my phone like what that looks like. And like it fits within the screen of my phone, which I guess wouldn't make anything fit, but like to the point that I can like see other towns and interstates in between. So like it's not that far. So here's what's crazy. So at 125 miles, the gravitational field experienced by astronauts is 94% of what they would experience on Earth.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So there's only a 5% reduction in the gravitational pull.
That's fascinating.
Isn't that crazy? Mind-boggling?
It's hurting my brain a bit, for sure.
So for an example, a 150-pound person or an astronaut here on Earth, in the space shuttle, they're going to have a weight of 140 pounds. So
10 pounds it does lighter. Not,
yeah. So they're 10 pounds lighter because you're taking 94 and turning it into a decimal. So it'd be like 0.94 times 150. So it's 140. Right. I mean, so they're not weightless. So what does it mean to be weightless? Like, yes, you're experiencing less gravity, but like it's
you're not
only
truly
a,
weightless.
It's like a 5% reduction.
That's
so
not
how are
that
they
much.
Like, no, if like we reduced gravity by 5% here, like would we all be floating around? Would the buildings be floating around? Would we even be grounded?
It's a great question.
Right?
That is shocking to me. That
it's crazy.
It's 5%.
The answer to this question of like, why do we refer to astronauts as being weightless actually lies within the shuttle's orbit. So I need all of us to use our imagination really quick. Put on your imagination.
Cap.
Yeah, get in your
SpongeBob box.
Yeah. get in your SpongeBob box. Use your imagination. If you don't know what we're referring to, you're too young to be listening to this podcast. I'm just kidding.
Or
look it up.
Too old.
Because, or you're too old. Look up that episode on YouTube because it is the best SpongeBob episode to ever exist, in my opinion. There's a couple golden SpongeBob episodes, and that's one of them.
I was going to say, I think that is like in the top for sure. It's
100%.
It is classic SpongeBob humor and just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're using our imagination. We're in the box. So suppose you take a cannonball to the top of a really high mountain and you orient the cannon to fire a cannonball parallel to Earth's local surface and fire it at a very high speed.
Okay. I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay. So as the cannonball is traveling away from the mountaintop, it falls in an arc shaped path.
Yeah. You hear all that? You hear that? Flat earthers. Sorry. I just had to make a dig there. Yeah.
No, for sure. For sure. As it travels from the mountaintop, it falls in this arc shaped path and the Earth's surface curves away from it.
Okay. Right. Because the Earth would curve more than the arc of the object traveling.
Yes. In a lot of mathematics, we usually ignore the curvature of the Earth just because it makes math harder.
Okay, right. I love that about math. Certain math and like science things where they're just like, yeah, we ignore that. That doesn't, you know.
Oh, it was the one thing in like my physics courses that like I could not like wrap my brain around. They would be like, oh, well, like it's such a small force acting on it. It's negligible. So we're just like not even going to use it. And I'm like,
okay.
But it's still there. Like, I don't know, whatever. So here we can't ignore the curvature of the Earth. So the cannonball would leave the cannon and fall towards the ground, but never land because it goes past the edge of the Earth.
Interesting.
And this happens because the Earth always curves away from falling objects.
Okay.
So the cannonball would be perpetually falling towards the Earth, but never get to it.
Oh, that's a very interesting way to think about that. It's always falling, but it never lands.
Yes. So shuttle astronauts are literally just free falling like the cannonball in the above example.
Wow.
So they are in just a constant free fall towards Earth.
I mean, it makes sense. Like when you think about what's actually happening, like it's literally just this thing flying around and it's constantly being pulled to the Earth.
Yeah.
But never, it's obviously never landing.
Yeah.
Oh, that is fascinating.
So what produces the apparent weightlessness here?
I have a theory, but I'm going to let you roll with it.
Okay. So now we we're at the top of the mountain, right? We fired our cannonball. Yeah. It's still spinning around the earth. We have to get down off the mountain, right?
Yeah, I don't want to stay up there.
No, and we're not going to hike down, so we're going to use the elevator that someone built into the mountain.
As all mountains should have, yeah.
Yes. So we see the elevator, we push the button, we get inside, mm-hmm. and we start to go down.
Yep.
The elevator cable snaps.
Oh, nightmare. Okay.
And the elevator falls with you in it.
Ooh, yeah.
You become incredibly frightened, as one would, and release all the newspapers and scientific information that you are holding in your hand.
My documents.
Yes, the documents. So you and the documents are both falling towards the earth at the same rate. And the newspaper would not fall away from you, but float beside you.
Right. For anyone out there that's ever seen the, what is it usually, like a feather and something else dropped at the same time? It's like a feather and then some heavy object that you would think, oh, the feather wouldn't, but then they'd fall at the same speed.
So to you, that floating paper appears weightless, as do you inside the elevator.
Yeah.
And you would claim that gravity has ceased to act on the newspapers because it did not move away from you, yet gravity would still have you in the newspapers firmly in its grips. Obviously, because, you know, we're like plummeting towards the earth in our elevator. That's cable snapped.
Right. Yeah, I love this analogy that during this whole time you're having this like scientific realization all while plummeting to the earth in an elevator shaft.
Yeah. This makes sense. We're fine. So in the same way, astronauts are still in the clutches of gravity and only appear weightless because they're falling continuously around the earth. So they're in a metal tube falling towards earth, with just a constant gravitational pull pulling them closer and closer and closer to the earth.
Right. But they are floating relative to the ISS falling to the earth.
Yes.
See, that was my hypothesis, which is probably along the same lines. I mean, this is kind of what it was, but I was thinking of like the momentum of the thing whipping around the earth.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the same theory, but kind of looking at it a different way of like that momentum of it spinning around the earth would then like,
well,
that's
that keeps
what
it
was,
in rotation.
Yeah. And that was kind of what was giving this weightless thing. I've never thought about zero gravity in this way. This is wild.
And gravity is really important to us. Like, we couldn't live on Earth without it. And what's crazy is that the sun's gravity keeps the Earth in orbit around it. So, like, not only are we feeling Earth's gravity, but we also have the sun's gravity, like, keeping us in orbit.
Yeah. Yeah. If the sun had no gravity, we would just float off into...
Yeah.
We would have never existed. We would be dead.
Yeah, literally. And gravity holds our atmosphere and the air we need to breathe in place.
Yeah.
It is literally the thing holding our world together. Nothing else is holding the world together right now, but gravity's always got its act together.
Dude, gravity, man, it just needs like, I can't imagine the stress. Like, it needs to take like a vacation or something. It's just trying to hold everything together, and we are trying our hardest to make it fall apart.
It's crazy.
At
so,
any time.
This is my little like tangent here.
Okay, let's hear.
And it's something that doesn't really make sense to me, but like, okay, whatever.
Okay.
Gravity isn't the same everywhere on Earth.
Okay.
So gravity is slightly stronger over places with more mass underground than over places with less mass. So NASA's been using these spacecraft to measure these variations in Earth's gravity, and they're part of the Gravity Recovery and Climate Experiment, which stands for GRACE. They called it the GRACE mission, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
And it detects tiny changes in gravity over time.
Okay.
And these are really important because they keep key details about our planet. So, for example, like the GRACE project has monitored changes in sea level and can detect changes in Earth's crust brought on by earthquakes.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, it makes sense. Like, if you think about how gravity exists, you know, gravity is increased by the mass. You know, a higher mass, you're going to have higher gravity, a gravitational pull.
It's really interesting because like when you look at a map of it, like you guys can pull this up, like it's accessible to anyone. The mountains, like where there are mountains, have the strongest gravitational pull.
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing that.
And to me, that feels crazy. Like, I get it. Like, there's a lot of mass there and like makes sense. But like, you look at the Great Lakes and the Bermuda Triangle and these places where there's conspiracy theories all around, and the gravity is so weak, and it's those weakest spots that there's no, like very little gravity, obviously, enacting here. And I'm like, does this have anything to do with the like alien conspiracy theories or like other things, like other crazy things that happen in these areas? Like maybe because there's less gravity there?
It's a whole new angle.
This is the tangent. This is my tangent. Yeah.
Busting this case wide open here. That's fascinating. I have like literally, I mean, like I said, like it makes sense when you break it down and think about how gravity works. But I feel like you never hear about it like this. It's always like, oh, this planet has this much gravity. This planet has this. Right. But it's like, no, that stuff differs all across the globe. Man, that's so interesting with like mountains, because, you know, the higher you go up on a mountain, the less air that is present there, but also this is saying the more gravity, the harder the gravitational pull. So like you got both those things acting against you.
It's like, I don't even understand.
That is fascinating.
It feels like two things that shouldn't coincide, but somehow do.
You know, yet another reason to not climb big mountains, I guess.
No.
I had never thought about that, and that is...
It's crazy.
Very interesting. Also, a very fun name for the missions.
I know, it's them. A good time, you know?
The
Grace Mission. Tony, thank you so much for your listener curiosity. I hope you got as much out of that as we did and learned something new about gravity.
Yeah.
And its unique little self, if you will. Gravity is special. Speaking of special... Welcome to my new segment called Logically This Makes Sense, But...
Yes, we got a new segment coming in hot here.
Logically This Makes Sense, But... And this is basically something that I found on the internet that I find mind-boggling and a way that people use science in a really fun, creative way.
You know, I feel like the gravity thing could have fallen in here as well. I feel like most stuff we talk about here...
Oh, for sure.
Could probably fall into this. But what do you have today?
Okay, logically, it makes sense that people can speak backwards, but why would one speak backwards? Can you speak backwards?
Definitely don't think I could. The only thing that comes to my mind talking about speaking backwards is like people doing the alphabet backwards, you know?
Yeah.
And I definitely can't do that.
I can't either. I've tried so many times and I just cannot.
Yeah, I saw, okay, I was recently rewatching the TV show How I Met Your Mother because I love it. Mm-hmm. And there's like a comment in one of the episodes where they say that it's used as like a thing for that cops would ask people to do to see if they're drunk or whatever, like pull them over. And it's like, oh, recite the alphabet back. And I was like, I couldn't do that. I couldn't even get past like Z. So if that was actually a test.
Z, Y, X, W, and that's all I got.
I think I could get, that's about as far as Z, Y, X, W.
So remember that. Like if people can, like this is a marker for what we're about to talk about. If you can do the alphabet backwards, number one, round of applause. You're smarter than Josh and I. Obviously, we can't talk backwards. Not our thing. No. But there was an Ig Nobel Prize. Which is like, I want one of these prizes. And I think it is genuinely what our podcast is built around. And honestly, I want to take the slogan. So an Ig Nobel Prize is an award sponsored by Harvard University. Shocking, of course.
Yeah.
For research that first makes people laugh and then think.
Oh.
Yes. Which I love. Like that's such like a cool way to think about it. Especially because it's like, oh, that's kind of funny. And it's like, wait. Why can we do that? why can someone speak backwards and like make words and like make it and like play with language? So backwards speech confers no practical advantage to the speakers. And perhaps it merely exists for the sheer enjoyment of the speaker and listener who recognize the sounds of the words. I mean, you think about it and you would be like, this is ridiculous. Like, why are you doing this? And it's absolutely useless. And it's by no means a total waste because it offers insight into how the human brain processes language in atypical ways.
Okay.
So backward speech can be practiced in any language that has a transparent grammar, meaning that phonemes, which we think is like related to phonics, or the distinct sound units of the language have the same sound regardless of their position relative to other parts of a word. So basically, you can do this with Spanish. You can do this with, I think they said Latin, and I think they said one of the other love languages, where it's like words don't have another sound. Because like, you know how in English, like your A can be a long A or a short A.
Right.
So it doesn't really work in the English language, which kind of sucks. But if you speak another language, you can do it with this.
Just a live on the spot update here. I looked up that word. It is the plural form of phonics. Phonics is the noun. Oh, so I was right. It's a plural noun, but it's pronounced phoneme, which seems wrong, but
it feels very wrong.
If it's the plural form of phonics, why is it phoneme?
I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, there
Welcome
you go.
Welcome to
phonics.
English. Crazy. So the reason I found this so interesting is because the researcher that won the Ig Nobel Prize did neuroimaging, and it revealed that backward spellers have more gray matter volume and connections among neurons, not only in regions associated with phonics processing, but also in other brain areas involved in semantic processes.
Okay, so like speech, areas that deal with the speech.
Yeah, and like cognitive control.
Right. That's so okay.
Yeah, right. So therefore, backward speech plays into cognitive mechanisms beyond classical language circuits.
So in other words, people that can talk backwards are they're more big brained.
Yes. And if you're like, what is gray matter? Gray matter is what's around your brain. And the more of it you have, they say, the smarter that you are.
Interesting.
Yeah. But like the people that they studied with this and for this are people that can have full on conversations backwards, like flip all the words around in sentences.
I mean, yeah.
Could you imagine?
I get confused in a normal conversation.
Me too.
trying to speak in a normal conversation forwards, I get confused. So there's no way that I could hold a conversation backwards.
Also, if someone talked to me backwards, I would have zero idea what they're saying. I would be so utterly confused. Like, it would be so bad.
I would just like glass over and just, they would finish and I'd just be, it would sound like they just said random nonsense sounds in my direction. I would not absorb anything that they said.
I don't either. So what's really interesting, and I think the big thing that I took away after reading this article and listening to this and like just kind of being mind blown by it, like that they're able to take this thing and be like, you know, these people can do this. What's happening in their brain? And it made me think about our science pals and be like, how many times are we confronted a day with something and we're like, oh, that's kind of cool and unique. And could use science to like explain it or use science to help us understand something in the world or help us think about something, or if something made you laugh and then you're like, well, wait, what if? So right. Like, don't quit dreaming, you guys, and don't quit looking for science around you because it is literally everywhere. And so this said, when confronted with something seemingly ridiculous or absurd, it's quite easy to dismiss it as if scientific value lies in the grandiose, revolutionary, and transcendent matter. And a lesson from the study is that if we see something absurd and we fail to find inspiration, we're not thinking deeply enough.
Yeah. I mean, that's this whole podcast, right? Like, that's why it's literally like almost everything. I mean, I said this in our 100th episode. The reason I love doing this podcast is literally like that, like thinking, seeing something and being like, what is that? Let me dig into that a little deeper. and finding an answer. I'm all on board with that train of thought, and I hope all the science pals out there are as well.
Yeah, we're here to make you laugh and then think about it.
And then it's the what show is that? They have a quote. I found it. It was in a Parks and Rec episode. Leslie says, she's like giving a speech or a presentation, and she says, you need two funny quotes and an inspirational one, you know, a classic ha ha hmm.
A ha ha hmm.
Yeah.
You gotta have those ha ha hmm moments.
Yeah, that's our thing of like, we're presenting interesting data with a little sign, you know, with a little humor behind it or whatever.
It's gotta be a little fun and funny.
You bet it does. Should we move on to the final section of the podcast?
Yeah.
This is another new segment that Grace thought it would be fun we should do because I'm always talking about Reddit. I'm always on Reddit.
Josh is a Reddit guy.
I am. For anyone out there, like we mentioned it on the podcast and we're going to, so this section is This Week on Reddit, I Learned. That's what the title of this section is.
Also, by the way, we're never going to tell you what the sections are ever again. This is the podcast.
No. Yeah,
that like, hey, new format. Like from now on, you'll just know. And if you're confused because you popped into a new episode, like that's okay.
You know, you'll pick it up. But yeah, for anyone out there that does not believe, you know, when we're talking about Reddit, I am on Reddit all the time. Like I look at Reddit many times a day. So I often come across something very strange and unique and interesting. And in the case of this week, I found something. I want to say it wasn't even the actual question, but it was on Ask Science, r/AskScience.
Nice.
And it was in the comments. Somebody left a comment and I was like, what? I got to dig into that because it was so interesting. Mm. The headline, basically, fungi evolution killed coal formation. Let me explain. And let me explain why this was so interesting.
I'm intrigued.
It was something I had never really thought about. So you obviously, like, you know, back in the day, and when I say that, we're talking like millions of years ago, coal was formed when plants fell and then they got covered up and that turned those carbonized turned into coal.
Yep.
That was called the Carboniferous period. It lasted about 60 million years.
Where everything on Earth was just coal.
Right, yeah, there's just a layer of coal. So this is the thing that I didn't ever think about. Because, and I think this was the Reddit comments, like this is how it came up. You know, we always hear that coal is a limited resource, right? We're going to run out of it.
Yeah.
I had never asked the question, why is that? Because coal was just formed from dead plants, right? And plants are dying all the time. So if that was the case, wouldn't that mean that new coal is just constantly being made?
Yeah, but doesn't it take a while for it to form?
Well, obviously, yes, for one. But there's a different reason why that is not the case.
What
why
is it?
Coal is actually a limited resource and not being made anymore.
What is it?
It's fungi.
What?
A new study, this was from nationalsciencefoundation.gov.
It's the government, of course you believe
the government.
That.
Well, because I want to make that clear, because the thing with Reddit, and I will say, anybody that browses Reddit, if you're like, you hear me talk about it, and you're like, oh, I want to get on Reddit and start looking at stuff, you can find interesting stuff there, but don't just take the comments as gospel.
No.
You know, you can see the stuff. No, you can't, because people can say whatever they want, and it could be
it's
completely wrong.
It's a public forum. Yeah.
Yeah. So just, you know, find something interesting and then dig in deeper a little bit. And that's what I did with this. So, yeah, from National Science Foundation, a new study, which includes the first large-scale comparison of fungi that cause rot decay, suggests that the evolution of a type of fungi known as white rot may have brought an end to the 60 million year long period of coal deposition known as the Carboniferous period. So,
wow.
Basically, it's a whole article, I could read it, but I did read it and I'll try and summarize it quickly. Basically, before that period, there was not this type of fungi called white rot. What that does is the fungal enzymes break down the whatever it may be, the plant organism
sure,
that
yeah,
falls
yeah,
or
yeah.
whatever. And so when the things fell, when things died and they fell over, they just got buried up and then those turned into coal. But now when things fall, they rot. They turn into a rotted plant.
Yep. Yeah.
And that doesn't turn into coal. So it's not the same. So coal is not that's why coal is not still being created.
Crazy. Why are they not teaching that in school?
I don't know. I had literally never heard anything about this.
Because I think I remember them being like, yeah, coal's not, it's a limited resource. And yeah. I don't think I ever asked like why,
which
shame
either.
On me.
Yeah. No, I was the same
crazy.
Thing. When I read this, I had that thought of like, oh yeah, like I always heard that this was how coal was made, but I never asked the question, well, plants are still dying. Like, why isn't that making more coal?
Yeah.
And like, here you go. Here you go.
Wow.
If you're interested, if you're into it, you can find this article on National Science Foundation. Just search, like, I don't know.
We can coal, link it in our fungi. Show notes.
We could probably link it. Notes. You know what? We'll link it. We'll link the
Perfect.
Article.
Perfect. Like, you guys, if you want to dig in more, you can. Also, if we mention other podcasts, we'll throw them in there in our show notes too for you guys to go back and listen.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So then it's
I like
easy
it. I like
for
it.
People to get in. That's what I learned on Reddit this week that I thought was fascinating and I had to share.
I like
coal.
It.
Fungi and coal. Super weird.
Fungi and coal speaking backwards in brain matter and then
gravity
and falling towards the earth. Like, okay.
What a ride. What a ride that one was. Yeah.
I really liked this. I feel like we got more out of the podcast and like learned a plethora of things.
Yeah. Listeners, let us know. Obviously, this is a new format that we're going to probably
gonna
stick
get it
with.
Right.
Right. Yeah. We're going to change it, but we're going to try it for a while. But please do let us know. Write in. Send us an email. Let us know if you loved it or you hated it. And here's why. Please tell us why. Don't just say you hated it.
Yeah. You got to have a valid reason of why. Or if you have ideas for sections, let us know. And we'll think about it because we're not set on these sections. We're here to experiment and see what's up.
Yes. And you can let us know by leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or responding to the Spotify Q&A or sending us an email at randomtheorypod@gmail.com or commenting on the YouTube video. There's so many ways to get in touch with us now.
So many ways. You guys are the best. Thanks for tuning in this week, Science Pals. Leave those ratings and reviews. You might be picked to be our curious listener of the week.
Indeed. Absolutely.
Super fun. Super curious.
All right. I'm going to go throw a cannonball off a cliff and watch it.
Good luck. So I'm going to jump up and down in my apartment and test out gravity.
Oh, cool. Your downstairs neighbors will probably love that.
Yeah, they're going to love me.
All right. Well, everyone, have a good week. We'll see you next week.
Bye, Science Pals.
Bye, everyone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.